Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Look, we get it, Tiger fans. We know the baseball season can be a grind. Luckily, when you're ready to trade hot dogs for tailgates, we've got you covered with Litterbox, a Detroit Lions podcast. It's the same unfiltered Detroit sports talk you get here, just with more biting kneecaps and fewer bullpen meltdowns. So when Sunday rolls around, don't just pace around like AJ Hinch waiting for a reliever. Fire up Litterbox, a Detroit Lions podcast, wherever you're listening now, and roar with us through the NFL season.
Billy P from the D and Chet here. Thank you all for listening to Litterbox, a Detroit Tigers podcast. If you enjoy the show, please make sure you hit that subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. We love hearing your thoughts, too. Leave us a rating or just drop us a comment. Please let us know what you think and whatever you want us to cover next. Your feedback really helps us grow and keeps the Tigers talk rolling all season long. Go Tigers, and thank you.
You're listening to The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson.
Tiger fans, welcome to The Litter Box with your host, Billy P and Chet. For those of you that watched the Tigers lose 2 out of 3 to the Chicago White Sox at home this past weekend, I'm sure you're losing your appetite for Tigers baseball. That's why we at The Litter Box are going to open today with one of our favorite foods, and that is pizza. And the question I have for you, Chet West, is pizza a good ballpark food? We know it's
yes,
a great food.
It's never a bad food anywhere.
Okay, even at a ballpark? Because I feel like because it's not necessarily handheld, unless it's like a floppy New York slice served on a, well, not one. You need to serve it on like 5 paper plates so the grease can soak up. And I feel like it's a food that you can't really eat in your seat without, you know, like a metal railing or a tray or something in front of you. I feel like it's,
I need a paper
plate. Too much.
But I'm going to tell you why this works for me at a ballpark. And you're going to die when you hear this because I don't think you know this about me. I love cheap garbage pizza. Pizza that other people look at and say, oh, this was done in a microwave or, oh, this is terrible. I love it. I don't know why. I think I grew up on it. I think there was something from my childhood where I would make these pizzas in the microwave or in the toaster oven like type, and I was fine with it. Like home run in, give me more of that. I mean, the stuff that people look at and they're like, oh, it's like cardboard. I throw that in the oven, cook it up for dinner at night, and it's like cardboard, but I love it because it's the crust being like cardboard makes it so much easier to eat because I can just pick it up, jam it in the old pie hole. When I'm sitting in my seat at the ballpark, I barely need a plate. I mean, sometimes I have a plate there just to be sort of civilized, but as long as that thing is as rigid as plywood, I'm good. So I like the ballpark pizza because it usually is fairly on a pizza lover scale, it's garbage pizza. Nobody likes ballpark pizza, okay? But I love it because it's easy to eat and I still love that taste and the texture of the firm crust.
So part of this could be a little PTSD from the fact that Wrigley Field used to have D'Agostino's, which is, I'm not going to say the best pizza in Chicago. It's the best slice in Chicago served on 4 paper plates or 5 paper plates.
Yes.
And it was perfect ballpark pizza. The problem is they didn't re-up or they didn't give the Cubs enough money. And the Cubs they've served Connie's, Home Run Inn.
Yep. Home Run Inn. I remember it well.
They both have very lackluster sausage. The pepperoni's not real beef or plentiful. It's not like the real pepperoni that you want.
I love all that trash. I love all that trash. And I don't know why I love that. So I will say this, small caveat. Don't do deep dish trash. Deep dish trash is a different ball game. I don't want, it's just way too much really bad crust. And it gets kind of gross. It's just solid and it's just bad stuff. So deep dish, bad pizza is bad pizza. Thin crust, bad pizza is actually good pizza.
Got it.
Go figure that.
So you'll throw like I think it's like Hungry Jack's or Tombstone in and just house that.
Tombstone is gold. Okay. Tombstone is gold. Now, I'm not trying to impress anybody with that. But if daddy wants a quick snack, a Tombstone pizza in the freezer isn't the worst thing in the world I can think of at all. It's actually, I get kind of excited for it. I usually sather it in a bunch of ranch or barbecue sauce or something like that to kind of
soften
it up.
Yeah. Now, how do you feel? I'm a big red pepper flake and Parmesan pack guy. Or
don't care for it. Don't need it.
Okay. Got it.
Don't need it. Never, just always wondered why it was on the table, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
Just all never been on it.
So, a little bit of differing opinions there. Let's talk about it.
What do you do? Do you like the ballpark pizza? Where are you at on this stuff? Like the Connie's. Would you grab a Connie's slice and a pinch?
No. Last time I went to Tigers White Sox with some neighbors, a month ago or so. It was sometime in, I believe, August. And we all got Beggar's Pizza. And their tagline is, they lay it on thick.
Sure.
It was served on the requisite paper plates. There were only two. So it soaked right through, and given my injury status with my foot, it wasn't super easy to find a railing. What I like to do, and I'm trying to give a visual here, is to get two elbows down on a metal railing, and I don't care how dirty it is. I just want a support mechanism so that I can eat over that filthy piece of stainless steel and make sure that it's not getting all over my Tiger's gear.
Certainly.
Yeah, and that's... I do love it. I'm a huge red pepper flake. I'm a huge Parm guy.
Caveat number two goes along with that paper plate issue, though.
Sure.
Never set that plate on your thigh or something.
Well, that's...
With the slices, that it's going to bleed through. You're going to end up with a nice little patty of pizza grease on your thigh there. It's no bueno.
And if it's fresh out of the oven, you can also burn your thigh.
I have never had that issue so much. I think my leg hair is like a protectant layer.
Ah, you've got resilient leg hair.
I have resilient leg hair, but I think that you know, I've definitely stained a pair of shorts with some pizza grease before by just setting that plate on the leg and it bleeds right through.
Stained on the front, stained on the back. Just another day at the ballpark. Yeah,
just another day at the ballpark. I mean, I got stains all over by the time I come home from the ballpark.
All right, moving on to the Tigers. So I think we both agree it's delicious food. It just needs to be consumed properly to avoid accidents.
I'm glad we're in agreement on that. That's good.
I looked at this series and thought the Tigers, this is about the easiest or worst team they would play for the rest of the season. It was at home and I had really high hopes. Chet, I was not feeling it at all.
The White Sox have become very pesky as the season has rolled on. But they're not this pesky. They're not pesky to where we should be losing two games.
They have a better winning percentage than the Tigers do since the All-Star break, dumbfounding.
Weren't coming in out of such a hole, they could have been this year's Tigers and been resurgent at the end of the season, but they were in such a hole going in.
So the Tigers lost game one, 7-5. They allowed 11 hits. They committed an error. They did score 5 runs, so the offense wasn't necessarily the problem. But boy, Chet, let's just go down this box score. Jack Flaherty made it 4 1/3. He had 4 earned runs, 6 hits, walked 2, only struck out 2, and his ERA is at 4.85. It has been a solid 5-plus ERA post-All-Star break. Bailey Horn took the loss, an inning pitched, 1 hit, 1 run, 1 earned run, 1 K, he allowed a dinger. And then Kenta Montero did have a sighting.
Kiter Montero. Also known as Kenta Montero.
Is
this a new name? Are you coming up with new names now?
No.
Is that the Javi Baez, the Javier Baez of the... No, he's gone bad, so we're calling him Kenta.
I think what I did is combined Montero and Maeda. Isn't that awesome?
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Just think about the pitcher that guy would be.
go through the pitching stats, Bill. There, it's a broken record at this point. Every game for the last, I feel like the last couple of weeks, we had that nice little winning stretch there for a while where our starters actually looked like maybe they'd get us through some games in the playoffs. Every game has looked like this that Skubal isn't pitching in, or maybe the one little Mize resurgence. But Flaherty, back to bad Flaherty. Horn giving up runs. Kenta, Montero, Keiter, welcome back to the majors. Thanks for giving up two more runs and losing the game for us, basically. I mean, it's 7-5 game. We got the runs across. Our offense is doing their job, and our pitching is falling apart down the stretch.
With the exception of game two, 6-0 win, because Tarek Skubal took the mound. And then the Tigers scored 6 runs on 6 hits. They allowed 3 hits. One error was committed by the White Sox. And Skubal goes to 13-4. His ERA is stellar at 2.10.
He's great. He's Cy Young right now.
If you looked at it, it didn't even look like he was leaving it all out there. He looked like he was 70-75% there, which is just, he is so masterclass and so wonderful.
Only 90 pitches, too. I think Hinch is doing something smart here by saving a little in his tank for the end of the season.
Yeah.
Tommy Canley pitched a clean inning. Good for you, Tommy Canley. By the way, do you want to know what his pitch mix was, Bill? 100% changeups. He didn't throw one fastball. He threw 10 pitches and they were all changeups.
I was going to say, if Tommy Canley made a salad at his house for you, it would just be lettuce.
Just lettuce.
Just lettuce.
Rafael Montero, the other Montero, came in and gave up a hit but closed it out. 13 pitches, got it all done. He had a nice 6-run lead. Go figure. Only 3 hits total in the game for the Sox. Skubal makes the Sox look like the Sox that we know and love for this season.
Yeah, a couple plugs that I want to give hitting-wise.
Sure. Yeah.
Wenzel Perez had a great series over the weekend, and so did Jamai Jones, who I've always considered nothing more than a career minor leaguer, but I am wrong about that this season. His OPS
I told you in spring training he looked good, and I couldn't figure out why we didn't bring him up to start the season.
And for those of you that aren't watching, because we don't broadcast this on YouTube, Chet is pointing his finger at me.
I am pointing and wagging.
Yeah, he is giving me a big old finger wag on
929 OPS, Jamai Jones is sporting right now. Wenzel, 800 OPS. Those are your guys.
Yes. Cause for concern batting, Torkelson's been on a really cold streak, and his OPS is now dipping below 800, which is concerning. But run scoring wasn't the problem this weekend. It was, again, broken record, bad pitching. Sunday's game, 6-4 loss for the Tigers. I am getting so frustrated with this. Tigers gave up 2 in the first, retaliated by scoring 3 in the bottom of the first. It was tied up in the third, went ahead in the fourth, and then bats went cold.
Well, Charlie Morton, I mean, 3 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs. I think we got everything we're going to get out of Chuck.
And Paddock. And so my rant right now is this. This front office for our Detroit Tigers said this team was good enough that they thought they had magic still or upside, you know, in the players that we saw the first 60 games of this season, or you know, first 60 days, 60 games. And I agree, the ceiling is still high for this team. You have 11 guys that are above major league average hitters. You have the best pitcher in baseball, and when healthy, Will Vest and Kyle Finnegan can be a lethal 1-2 punch in the pen. Yeah. Outside of that, that's the ceiling, Chet. Yeah. The floor is you don't have another starting pitcher until somebody steps up. And shame on you, Scott Harris. Shame on you, Chris Illich, for not being more aggressive at the trade deadline.
Be a little more aggressive.
Because this, if the Tigers don't get one of the 2 American League buys, this season's going to end very quickly up against either the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, the Mariners, the Astros. It doesn't matter who they play. I would favor any team in a 3-game series against the Tigers right now, even if the series is at Comerica.
So just to call a few things out here too, Chucky Morton wasn't the only one who threw this game away. Holton had a nice appearance. Melton had 4 walks. I don't know how Melton had 4 walks. He had 4 walks, 1K, 4 walks. He went 2 innings, He did give us two innings. Still waiting to see him as a starter at some point, but that's a little shaky. Tommy Canley blew up again. Two-thirds of an inning, gave up two runs, three hits, and a walk. So he's back to being bad Tommy. You know what? He didn't throw all changeups this time. So maybe it was because he mixed a few fastballs in there. Maybe that was the weakness.
He added tomatoes to the salad.
Yeah. Will Vest went an inning, two hits, had a K. He was fine. Rafael Montero went an inning, gave up a walk, at a K. I mean, you know, too many runs up front, too many runs in the middle there from Melton and Canley. Canley really was probably the one who threw this thing away. It just doesn't...
But they were already in a hole because of...
They were... Well, they were
what
up,
Uncle Charlie did.
They were up 4-3 going into the seventh, okay? And, you know, it's... So Melton probably provided a lot of the damage with all his walks there.
Oh, yeah.
But Canley, I mean, Canley still didn't shut the door in the eighth. It was tied 4-4. Canley gives up two. I don't know. Maybe it is what it is. I mean, you can't expect good outings from Canley every time.
No. And this again comes back to, I'm mixed on, was the front office, did they misevaluate or were they overconfident?
I think they were overconfident. I think a lot of these guys had a really good first half and they did everything on a first half. But, you know, we all sat there and looked and said, all these guys are just treeing off their butts right now. They're just, this is as good as it gets. They're, you know, we're seeing like career bests for some of these guys. You're going, there is going to be some regression to the norm here. And it was like they just said, no, we'll never regress to the norm. We're not going to have to go out and get, you know, do anything major. We saw this coming. I mean, we saw this coming from a mile away. And nobody wanted to admit it.
We did. And so now the Tigers go to one of the hallowed grounds of
New York
based baseball, the Bronx, the South Bronx, to play the Yankees. And we've got Casey Mize up tomorrow against Will Warren, which I would say right now is the Tigers' best chance to win a game in this series, because game two is going to be absolutely brutal. You've got bad Jack Flaherty going up against Carlos Rondon. I don't see any way the Tigers pull that game out unless Jack Flaherty throws a no-hitter or something, a one-hitter. Yeah.
It's not
and then what's even going to be uglier is it's to be determined who the starter is on Thursday, September 11th. And I know the Yankees are planning a really grand celebration to honor those that lost their lives in the terrorist attacks on 9/11. I'm a fan of baseball. I'm a fan of the Tigers. But if New Yorkers, they deserve a win that day.
If we get one game in this series, I'll be elated. I think it could be a sweep. And I think it could put us in. And I know you're going to love to hear this because I did debate this with you a little bit this morning over a quick text exchange, but I think it could put us in jeopardy here a little bit. If KC catches fire, if it's a big if, we could be in trouble. We could be looking at a wild card situation if we don't start collecting ourselves pretty soon.
So you're starting to
feel... 8.5. I mean, we got an 8.5 lead on them.
On the Royals, that is.
Yeah,
what Chet's talking about.
On the Royals.
I'm still not there yet. A week from now, if the Tigers go, let's say, 1-5 against the Yankees and Marlins, who have been playing much better baseball on this road trip, I'll 100% be there. I'm just not there yet. But both the Royals and the Guardians are playing well.
So, Bill, on all fronts, this looks a little difficult pitching-wise. We're going to get lucky to get one game out of this series coming up. What do you need to see to wrap the season here? What do you need to see in these final couple weeks? We only got about 2.5 weeks left here.
Yeah, that's a great question, Chet. And what I would like to see that would put me at ease is the Tigers inch towards the finish line here is another pitcher to step up and be a pitcher that can get to six innings with one run or fewer or two runs or fewer and put the Tigers in position to win. And what I mean by that is a starting pitcher. Somebody stepped up in the bullpen outside of these three individuals, Finnegan, Vest, and sometimes Holton. That would be wonderful as well. The bats don't concern me. When clicking, this is an above major league baseball average lineup for OPS. They run the bases well. They do the little things well. My concern is we have to have at least one more starting pitcher going into these short series that can not allow four runs in the first two innings and put us in a deficit.
I agree.
That is my, I agree. That's my ask. What else am I missing?
It doesn't seem like a big ask. You're now asking the equivalent of a Connie's Pizza, probably, or a home run in pizza, is all you're asking for from these pitchers. So we're not asking for Cy Youngs here. We've got one. We're just asking.
I'm not asking for beggars where they lay it on
for
thick.
Middle of the road toaster oven pizza that tastes like cardboard. We can't even get that.
Tombstone.
On that note, Tombstone, cut us the check. Connie's and home run. We just publicized all your product. We're going to wrap this up, Bill. Best of luck to these Tigers down the stretch.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're Bill and Chet. We'll be back soon with more Tigers talk. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you got a minute, leave us a quick review. Till next time, go Tigers.